Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in 1 Samuel 21, looking at the life of David. And in the previous episode, I believe we covered the first six verses. And I want to go back and read them again to remind us of the context, point out a couple things, then press on. So David is fleeing Saul. In verse 1, it says this: Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, Why are you alone and no one with you? So from what we see right here at this time, we think, okay, he meets a priest. Later on, we're going to find out that this is a place where many priests lived. Okay, many priests lived. And this encounter right here is going to be quite costly to those priests. And it seems to be the place to where the worship, Mosaic worship, was taking place because of the bread that's mentioned here. So verse 2 says this, David said to Ahimelech the priest, The king has commissioned me with a matter and has said to me, Let no one know anything about the matter on which I am sending you and with which I have commissioned you, and I have directed the young men to a certain place. So Ahimelech wanted to know why he was alone. He thought something was fishy because somebody of David's stature would never travel alone, et cetera, et cetera. And David comes along and he tells him something. So we discussed in the previous episode, is David flat out lying here? Is he presenting a ruse? Okay. And what is a ruse? Basically a lie to where I have no ill intent to you, but I don't want you to know what the truth is. Okay. Regardless of what's happening here. I mean, some commentaries say this is David's second lie, and it may be, very well may be. I do know that Jesus picks up this account right here and uses it as an example for something. Could Jesus use a ruse of David to bring forth a point? Absolutely. Yeah, he could do it. So anyway, he tells him, yeah, I had business from the king. I'm in a hurry right here. And the guys that are with me, I've sent them off to another place. Then David presses what the matter is. Now, therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found. David wanted some food. The priest answered David and said, There is no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread. If only the young men have kept themselves from women. And so according to the law and according to traditions, et cetera, but particularly according to the law, that if they were going out to a holy war or time of worship or something, they had to keep themselves from women for a period of time prior to that. David answers the priest in verse 5 and said to him, Surely women have been kept from us as previously when I set out, and the vessels of the young men were holy. Though it was an ordinary journey, how much more than today will their vessels be holy? So twice you see here mentioned that when we set out on this ordinary journey, that their vessels were holy. How much more today will it be holy? So, which begs the question, what? Well, what vessel are they talking about? And the Hebrew word is actually the word kelai, and it means an article, a vessel, as it's translated here, an implement or utensil. It is literally a Hebraic euphemism for sexual organs. Seriously, that's what's being said right there. He says, yeah, man, their tools, their implements are holy right now. They haven't used them before we left, before we're going. That's what David was saying. You see this a lot in Scripture when you just dig down just a little bit to see what the original words mean. So, priest, verse 6, gave consecrated bread because there was no other bread there. But he gave him the bread of the presence, which was removed before the Lord in order to put hot bread in his place when it was taken away, which shows us that the tabernacle worship was taking place here. This is where they had pitched the tabernacle. And so they're going about that worship. David received that bread. Then verse 7 has this thing which it looks like a change of pace, a change of direction or something, but it's not. It says this, Now, one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. So there's somebody there that same day, and that somebody is Doeg, and Doeg is an Edomite. Now the Edomites were from the line of Esau, and they were the enemy of Israel, and Israel was the enemy of them. Saul fought against them, and Saul was victorious over them. So was Doeg like a prisoner of war or something? Probably captured. But now he has risen to the status of being chief of all of Saul's shepherds. And so it's just this one verse here, verse 7, states that he's there. And then it presses on with the narrative of David again in verse 8. Well, when you see that kind of thing in Scripture, park it in the front of your mind because you know you're going to see it again. And boy, are we going to see it again. The writer is mentioning that Doeg is here right now. Then verse 8, David said to Ahimelech, now, is there not a spear or a sword on hand? David needed some weaponry. He didn't have any weapons. Then he said this, for I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me because the king's matter was urgent. That right there is sort of revealing that this is a suspicious story right here, okay? And because if the king's matter was really, really urgent, would you not at least pick up a sword on your way out? You know, would you not grab a loaf of bread? Wouldn't you have a bug-out bag ready all the time if you're a commander of soldiers like David was, okay? And so the priest, Ahimelech, knew something was going on here. Now, David is stating things sort of like, I was really, really in a hurry. And so, you know, he may have been sincere in saying that, you know, the king had sent me, and he's referring to Jonathan. He may have been throwing God under the bus here, saying, you know, that God's the one that sent me. I don't know. I just know that he's ill-prepared and he's trying to get some stuff. So the priest says to him, verse 9, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourself, take it, for there is no other except it here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. So the actual sword that David had after killing Goliath, remember when David struck Goliath down with the rocks, he goes over and grabs Goliath's sword, whacks his head off, and he keeps the sword. Well, now it is here with the priest, which tells us that David had given it and had dedicated it unto the Lord and had given it there. So when he asked the question, hey, isn't there a spear or sword on hand? He probably suspected that sword was still there. And the priest says, yeah, that sword's there. He says, back there, it's wrapped in an ephod. And I don't think this, from our understanding, that is a priestly garment. It's probably not the priestly garment that the high priest wore, okay? But some people believe that it's actually referring to a type of a idolatrous type of thing. I don't know. I just know it's wrapped in the cloth behind the ephod that was there, okay? So David gets it. Verse 10 tells us this. Then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. So he's fleeing, and he's literally going to the enemy's side, okay? He's going to the enemy's side to run away from the king. Gath is literally one of the five main cities, the five royal cities, the five chief cities of the Philistines. Hang on a second. When I said that last statement, the girl that lives inside my computer started mouthing off. She's really sensitive nowadays, as I've mentioned before. But anyway, Gath is one of the five cities of the Philistines. So David is grabbing the sword of Goliath and going into Philistine land to hide. Yeah, you better hope nobody recognizes that sword, right? What is he doing? Well, he's fleeing. To start with, he's fleeing. He's got five loaves of bread. He's got some guys with him. He's got a big sword. And he goes, and he's going to try to lay low here with the king of Gath, Achish. Wonder how that's going to work out. It's one of the more humorous things in Scripture, and we'll see it the next time. Bless y'all. I'll see you then. Goodbye.